Please open your Bible to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep in his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those in his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me."
Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." May the Lord bless. Oh, and verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, this is the first time Beth and I have done this, where we are going to do a sermon together. So we pray that you are blessed, and that the Spirit will speak. And I did look forward to speaking with Beth sometime in the future. I didn't expect it would be this Sabbath, but as the Lord has it, I asked Beth, "Would you like to speak together this Sabbath?" And praise God, she said, "Okay, why not?" And so this message is primarily Beth's message, but we will go back and forth. Beth will represent the sheep, fittingly. I don't know about, and I will represent the goats. I don't know if I should say fittingly to that, but yeah, so... we will start, Beth will say something and I will follow. So I pray that we are all blessed, and let's just have first a word of prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, once again we welcome you as our special guest, and we ask you, Lord, to fill this place with your Holy Spirit, surround this church with your heavenly angels, and speak, Lord, to us through your word. And may you be glorified above all things. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
During the 3 years that Jesus traveled and taught people, he used parable to help people understand important truth about God. A parable is a short story, a story that has more than one meaning, a story that seems simple but isn't simple. Toward the end of Jesus' 3 years ministry, as it got closer and closer to the time when he would be crucified, he started telling stories that took about a man who went away for a while and then came back. And today's parable is about the parable of the sheep and the goat. We will learn about the shepherd who returned to divide his flock into two groups, sheep on one side and the goat on the other side. As we see, one of this group is rewarded by the shepherd and the other group is sent away from the shepherd and punished. So we will read together and we will study together Matthew 25, 31 to 46.
So there's a great potential for misunderstanding with this parable, because it's sometimes, if it's not viewed in conjunction with Christ's entire teaching and the truth of Scripture, people may see it as something as simply merely meaning a matter of doing good works or being a good person, the sheep and the goats. But the gospel clearly teaches that there is only one way to be made right with God, the blood of Jesus, shed to make atonement for sin once and for all, Romans 5, 8 to 10, and our belief in him, in John 3, 16. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it clearly states, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And I want us to remember that it's not by the works, so that we cannot boast. And in actual fact, when the works do come, it's not from us. It's from him, from the Holy Spirit. Because any good works that we do, it will essentially come from heaven. Because if we could say, this is from me, this is what I've done, if it tends to turn into self-righteousness. Jesus told this parable not to imply that works will bring salvation, but to show that there are many who merely pretend to know and love God, saying the right things, observing the right rituals, eating the right food, going to church on a certain day, but never truly living a changed life that leads to loving others as God, as Christ, has loved us. So now we go to the sheep and versus the goats, or sheep and the goats.
All right. In Matthew 25, 31 to 33, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from another, and as a shepherd divide his sheep from his goat, from the goat. And he will sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Those hearing this parable would have been familiar with the process of sorting of flocks. During the day, sheep and goats would mingle, grazing together and roaming where they please. But at night, their needs were different, and they would be separated. Before we go any farther, it might be interesting to see how sheep and goats are different. They might look similar and make noises that are almost the same, but their personality and behavior are very, very different.
Yes. So when you see a baby goat, which we call a kid, they are very lovely. They are, have a very innocent face, just like the lambs. But anyone who has ever spent time with goats knows that they are trouble. I like the way my brother Mike described them. He said they're like spoilt teenagers. Goats are very independent animals. If the shepherd decided to go on vacation, they decided to go holiday for a week and left the goats to survive on their own, they would essentially be able to survive by themselves. Goats, they have huge appetites and will eat, and they will eat almost virtually anything and everything to satisfy their hunger. This was an interesting fact. Shepherds, they had to be careful during this period because mama goats will often eat every bit of the food put out for her babies. So that's even now, leaving them to go hungry. She just uses her head to bump them out of the way so she can have their dinner. Wow, how selfish is that? Anything about goats is that they are motivated by their own desires. For example, this is the one which I was saying, a fact that was happening before then. For example, the goat, they used to like the shepherd's hair, the actual physical hair. The goats liked to sneak up on their shepherd while they were sleeping. So the shepherd would be sleeping on the ground, and the goats, I don't know if it was an act of love, but I doubt it, but they just liked the hair. They would start chewing on the shepherd's hair. They would start biting, and then the shepherd, obviously, he doesn't like this, so he will start to shout and push the goat away. But the goat, he just won't stop. He won't listen. He would just come back and forth. The shepherd would try to push him away, but he would just go for what he desires, that thing, and that would be the hair. He loves how the hair tastes. So as soon as the shepherd lies down again, takes a nap, the goat is right there, chewing on the sleeping shepherd's hair and trying to avoid punishment. So goats, they love doing what they want more than they love pleasing the shepherd.
Okay, now let's go to the sheep. From the distance, sheep might look like they've got it all together, hanging out in the pasture, grazing on yummy grass all day, playing with other sheep in the sunshine. But the truth is, sheep requires so much help to stay alive. Did you know that if a sheep falls on his back, it cannot figure out how to get up without help and will eventually die if the shepherd doesn't show it how to rule over and stand up again? Also, sheep have a strong tendency to panic and run around wildly when they are stressed out about something. If a car drives by a beep and horn, the whole flock of sheep might spend the next 2 hours running in circle and bumping into the wall and fences around their pasture. But sheep also feels very calm when their shepherd is around. They will follow him anywhere because they have learned to trust him. They know that when it's rain, the shepherd is the one who gently moves them to shelter. When they are hungry, the shepherd will take them to a pasture with tall, grassy, tasty grass, or give them other food to fill their tummies. They know that the shepherd is the one who cares for all their needs.
So what about the goats? Going back to the parable, what do you think Jesus is going to tell the goats? Let's read it. in Matthew 25, 41 to 46. Then he will say to those on his left, "You are cursed. Go away from me into the fire that burns forever. It has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, but you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, but you did not give me any. I was sick and in prison, but you did not take care of me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and not help you? When did we see you as a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "What I'm about to tell you is true. Anything you don't do for one of the least important of these, you didn't do for me." They will go away to be punished forever. But those who have done what is right will receive eternal life. So the goats were living a selfish life. How selfish is selfish? That was my first thought. How selfish is selfish? Can we have a bit of selfishness? They saw lots of people in need, but did nothing for them. They were not like the sheep who had been given a brand new way of seeing other people when they trusted Jesus. The goats had not accepted the love of Christ, so they didn't have his love to give to other people. Sadly, when the king comes back to sort the sheep and the goats will not get to be with him forever. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 5, this is a contrast between the sheep and the goats. In Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 5 to 8, And the word of the Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man." So the goats trusted solely in themselves. Mm-hmm. People who trust completely to themselves are like the goat. He continues to say, "So cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart has departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." So he is not looking for any good that's around, anyone who needs help, anything to do good. He will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But here is the contrast to the sheep. Blessed is the man, in verse 7, that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. In other words, blessed is the man who trusts in the shepherd and whose hope is in our forever friend, Jesus Christ. For he shall be as a tree. There's a big change here. A tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That is the characteristic of a sheep. So the attitude of those who had failed, Christ is describing, they said this, "If we had not known it was you, we would have gladly helped you, but we thought it was only some common person who wasn't even worth helping." There was a contrast we saw sometimes when we were in Philippines, where people would hold up, they would treat better those in higher positions, those who were, in our sense, politicians or people with a high status. Even in church, they would get the chair cleaned for them, they would treat them so nice, "Would you like this?" And then the homeless person would be at the back. And this is a type of goats saying, we would just wait, if we known it was you, we would have helped you. So it's still true that there are those who will help if they are given praise and thanks and publicity. Thank God we're not the judges of people, because we see people doing good works and sometimes wanting praise and publicity for it. And there are those in the background, work just day by day, being nice to people, being a servant to others, where no one else is seeing, where only God sees, thankfully, and who are doing, being God's sheep behind the curtain, so to speak. But to help like that, so just helping so that others would praise you, that is not really help. It is to pander to self-esteem. Such help is not generosity. It is disguised as selfishness. The help which wins the approval of God is that which is given for nothing but the sake of helping. That was from William Barclay. He was a biblical scholar and theologian, 1907. When you know how much Jesus loves you, when we know how much he cares and how much what he did on the cross, I realized this back in 2007. Up to that point, I would say I was the goat. I didn't want to follow anybody. And I was at the point where I was doing anything I wanted, and I had done, I was even committing criminal acts. I was very heavy and deep into the world. But the point I realized what Jesus did, it was the first time I realized what he did when I came to the verse John 3:16. And I realized even after everything I've done, even all the bad things that I've done, you still forgive me? Jesus loves you. He loves all of us. And when you realize how much he loves you, you can't help but loving him back. And you just want to serve him. You also, in serving others, you realize that you're serving Christ. But if you ignore and reject the love that Jesus offers, you will never see other people the way he sees them. You will never be able to serve them unselfishly and completely. So when we sometimes we just hear of God's love. But what is God's true love? His love is transforming the heart so we are able to do that which we couldn't do before, which is love a fellow man. But that is with the love of God only.
Let's go back to the sheep. Did you know that all throughout the Bible, God says that we are his sheep? In Psalms 95, verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." In Mark 6, 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Think about what we just learned about sheep. They are totally helpless without their shepherd to guide them and to take care of them. We're like those sheep, and God is our good shepherd. We belong completely to the good shepherd. He cares for us and would never leave us completely alone. When we are in trouble or attacked by an enemy, the shepherd is always there to rescue his flock. When we are in pain, the shepherd can feel our pain. He loves us so much and even gave his life for us. Because of that, we can trust him in all things. In the parable, we see that what happened next is, remember, the shepherd has divided the sheep and the goat, with sheep on the right hand and goat on the left. You'll notice that from this point on the parable, Jesus doesn't talk about shepherd anymore. He talks about a king. Jesus is our good shepherd, but he is also the king above all kings. And he is coming back someday to rule over all the earth. And this parable, and in this parable, Jesus tells us that the first thing he's going to do when he returns is to decide who's a sheep and who's a goat. In Matthew 25:34-36, then the king will say to those in his right hand, "Come, you blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." It sounds like the sheep did a good job. But what Jesus said might seem a little confusing. Jesus said they feed him. Jesus said they feed him when he was hungry. And they give him a drink when he was thirsty. They made friend with him when he was lonely. And they came to him when he was in the hospital or in prison. What does this mean? How can I possibly be one of the sheep when I've never even met Jesus in prison? Let alone made him a sandwich for lunch. The people who were in the sheep category were confused too. And it says in Matthew 25:37-39, then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" We know from some of the other parable, we've studied that Jesus always had a good answer when people were confused. He knows that his parable were often kind of mysterious and hard to understand. That's exactly what he wanted them to be. He wanted people to think hard about what he was saying. But Jesus never, ever left people with any doubt about what he meant. That's why the king of this story, of the sheep and the goat parable, gives a very clear answer to the sheep question. In Matthew 25:40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" The king, with Jesus, told the sheep that because they have love and care for the people around them, they have love and care for him. The sheep get invited into the kingdom of God. But here's something really important to remember. The sheep have not earned their place in the kingdom through the good things they did. When we trust in Jesus and believe that he died so that our sins could be forgiven, something happened. We changed. We're not the same as we were before. We decided to love and to trust Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:15-17. "And he died for all. Christ died for everyone, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we are known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, those no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we decide to follow Jesus, we get a brand new start. We get to live the life He wants us to live. And He wants us to love the people around us because He loves them and us so much. When He was on earth, Jesus said, Jesus said these two things we needed to remember. First, He told us to love God, and then He told us to love others like He loves us. This is basically the Ten Commandments. The first half is love God, and the second half is to love the fellow man. That's why in this parable, the sheep were able to do lots of things to show show love to other people. It's like He's pouring all His love into their hearts, and they can't help but pour love out into other people's lives. You might say that the good things the sheep did were evidence that Jesus was working in their lives, but because by the working of the Holy Spirit in them. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on. The greatest of these is love, because love is the foundation of every other fruits, every other characteristic. In other words, we cannot love others without the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians 1:8, it says, "Who also declare unto us your love, I, the Spirit." It is easy to show the kind of love Jesus talked about. If you know someone who doesn't have enough to eat, share your food with them. If someone is thirsty, offer them a cup of water. If you see a man cold in the street, give him a jumper to warm himself. And if your grandma is sick, send him a card or give him a call and visit and give her a hug. That's all he asks. And when we do those simple things, it's like we're doing them for Jesus. And the more we do it, the more we love to do it. He must be so happy when we love other people. That's why this parable, the sheep and the goat, Jesus tells us that the kingdom belongs only to those who love Him and love others. Heaven is all love, and there is no bitterness, hatred, or sin there. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
Amen. Now we will sing a song. The title is,
"You Are the Light."
You are the light of the world.
Of the world.
Ella, would you like to join me?
You are the light of the world.
Jesus.